on the front lines of Houston sports.
Let's go!
You're in the trenches with ND Kalu. ND Kalu.
Welcome in, good morning, and happy Friday to everybody out there in Radio Land. I am ND Kalu. He is Big Sarge of Big Sarge Sports. Jacob Beck on the other side of the glass. Chris Gordy in his home state of Louisiana at the Manning Passing Camp. For those who don't know, every single year, the Manning family, Archie Manning, the patriarch, Eli, Peyton, Cooper, and the whole Manning family, they put on a quarterback camp that's ultra successful. They've been doing it for so many years. And Chris Gordy went down there to cover that camp and try to get interviews because many of the camp counselors are college football quarterbacks. So for him and his SEC podcast and his show, it's a good way for him to get some content and just to be around football. So he will be back Monday. We are here and we still do things the same, talking all things sports with a special emphasis on the number one sport in the history of sports, American football, but the draft happened yesterday. The Houston Rockets have their newest member, Jabari Smith Jr., with the number 3 overall pick. What's exciting for a lot of casual fans who are reading the reports, who were listening to all these so-called, I don't even know what you call the people who try to predict who's going to be drafted when and where, they feel like they got a guy that many people felt would have been the number one overall choice. So I know people are excited about that. But you, a guy who's not really, oh, so-and-so reported this, so-and-so reported that, but you watch and you cover basketball, what do you think about that pick? What do you think about Jabari Smith, the player? What's up, Mike? Hold on. You can't come in here on a Friday just because we're live on air and not say hi, have a good weekend, and try to sneak in and out.
Hi, guys. We're going to work out.
Who's going to work out? Okay. Is that one of the sons you talk about all the time on air?
It's one of the kids at the house.
Yeah. What's your name, brother?
Ken,
nice to meet you.
I just turned 14. Oh, we're coming to your football camp if you're having it.
Next summer, because people are still nervous about the whole COVID. Okay. You know what? You're doing what I talk about, what I despise, young man. What's the degree outside? And what are you wearing? He's wearing a hoodie in 100-degree weather.
So am I, though.
And you're not sweating. Like,
it's freezing cold in here.
Is that why you're doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have experience. Like, last time I went to the renovation,
he complains about the temperature.
It was freezing cold. I literally
the last studio, he complained.
Okay. So you're not going outside with that hoodie on. Okay, cool. Well, it's good to meet you. I hope you appreciate this man right here. He's always saying good things about y'all on air. Have a good weekend. Have a good workout. All right. So as a guy who covers the Rockets, who covers basketball, what do you think about the pick?
I love it. First of all, good morning, everyone. I love the pick. That's one. Let me say this, ND. I put this out on social media. I have to go out and on a limb, and I don't know how far of a limb this is going out on, but I will say that Houston Rockets general manager Raphael Stone is by far one of the best basketball minds in basketball right now. A lot of people won't give him his credit, but you got to give him his credit because last year when they had the second overall pick, everybody wanted him to take Evan Mobley. Well, what Raphael Stone, and this is not me saying that I have any inside information from Mr. Stone at all, but I'm just going out. Like I said, I'm going out on a limb and I would have to say, he looked at it and it was a guard heavy draft last season. So what did he do? He went out and got one of the best guards available, in Jalen Green with the second pick. Cade Cunningham went number one. He knew coming up this year that the NBA draft was going to be forward heavy. There was going to be a lot of forwards available. No, Christian Wood may not be here for long term because they didn't want to sign him to a max deal. He knew that this draft was going to be forward heavy. So what did he do? He went out and he knew that if he got within the first three picks, he would have an opportunity to take one of the best forwards coming out of college. And that's Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith.
Mm-hmm.
everybody had, of course, all the mock drafts, myself included, had Paolo Banchero going number three to the Rockets. Everybody thought that. But when he went number one, that just threw, like that threw a monkey wrench in the game. Having Jabari Smith, who most people had as the overall number one pick in this year's draft, fall to the Houston Rockets at number three, that's big, Indy. That's huge. That's a huge get for the Houston Rockets. And that's a huge improvement to their lineup.
I don't want to, because Chris and I spent a lot of time on this yesterday, and I don't want to rehash it because there's more to talk about. You know, the Houston Rockets just got the number three overall pick. But the whole, he fell. Like, did he fall, or did the people who are not in war rooms just get it wrong? Yeah, because how are you going to tell me a guy fell when he went number three and the Banchero, basically it was Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith. We don't know. Like, if I'm running Orlando, if I'm running Houston, if I'm running any of these teams, I'm not going to sit out there before the draft and say, hey, this is the guy we want. So I get all the guessing. I get all the people, like you said, in your mock draft, you had Banchero going number three to the Rockets, but the teams didn't. Like, there isn't anything that happened that changed the mind of the teams, but they're just smart enough not to put it out there. Why would you show your hand? So anyway, again, I'm focused on the wrong thing.
No, wait.
Go ahead.
No. No, that is a very, very valid and good point. You're right, because mock drafts ain't nothing but weathermen. You know what I mean? Sports weathermen. Like, we're trying to predict the weather. We're trying to, and what I mean by the weather, we're trying to predict where these guys are going to go. We do it in the NFL, and we do it in the NBA. Not so much in baseball. But
yeah,
with the NBA and the NFL, we do it all the time. There's 1,000 mock drafts. So, no, you're right.
And I love those, by the way. Like, yeah, because of my stance on them. But I just take it as entertainment. People think, I believe there's no place. I love mock drafts. Like, it's fun to, ooh, Chet Holmgren, what if he comes to the Houston Rockets? How does he team up? What happens with Sengun? Are you going to have Twin Towers? But then when reality hits, it's like, okay, now let's talk about what's truly going to happen. Like, how is Jabari Smith going to fit into this roster? Again, I hope he feels like he fell, because you know what I want? An ultra talented 6'10 forward who feels like he was shafted and he should have gone number one. I want that, because what are you going to do about it? Go prove us wrong. Go prove go prove the first two teams wrong.
Yeah, he has a huge chip on the shoulder, you could see it. It was coming out in the interviews, and he said, I'm happy where I'm going. God doesn't make mistakes, is what he said. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, if Houston is where I'm supposed to be, like, that's how it's supposed to be. But yeah, exactly. So, but he was mad. He has a chip on his shoulder, and he said, my main focus right now is to win games and make the playoffs. And that's the type of attitude. He's like, rookie of the year, of course, but that's an individual award. I want to win games and make the playoffs. I like that type of attitude from a guy coming in who felt like he got slighted.
How does he fit? This is a stupid question, because it's basketball.
Yeah.
He's a day one starter.
Oh, of course.
So who you have projected, I'm not holding you to it, because Steven Silas is going to make that ultimate decision. But who do you have projected, if everyone stays injury free this offseason, as their starting five?
And if they keep Eric Gordon, I will say KPJ, Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, Jabari Smith, and Alperen Sengun.
Eric Gordon, I've heard his name swirling around
a lot.
The trade rumors. Mm-hmm. Is he a guy that a team feels like they're one player, one vet away, or is he just a contract dump? Is there true value from other teams? Like, you know what? We have our three superstars. We just need an Eric Gordon. Are there teams out there saying that?
There's a lot of suitors for Eric Gordon. The problem is they don't want to come off the draft pick, and the Rockets are not going to give him up without getting the first round draft pick. Or at least an early second round. Like, they're not just going to give him up for players, because most of these teams that want to trade with them aren't giving up their star players, aren't giving up the good players that they want to keep on their roster. So Eric Gordon, I put it like this. If the Phoenix Suns would have had Eric Gordon this year, they'd have been back in the finals.
I know I'm in the minority on this take. I know the NBA works a little bit differently from my mind. Real quick, just mention the top five that you just, the starting five for the Rockets that you just threw out there.
Kevin Porter Jr., mm-hmm. Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, Jabari Smith, Alperen Sengun.
in my crazy fantasy world, if I'm paying a particular player $47 million, isn't there a way to say, hey, John Wall, and for those who don't know, point guard John Wall, he opted into his contract, so he's due $47 million. And the thought is they're going to try to trade him. Last year they did not trade him. He did not play, and they still paid him his full salary. That was just an agreement, which I still don't understand to this day. Are you telling me, just for next year, Big Sarge, the idea of having John Wall play and Eric Gordon play through their contracts next year won't make the team better? What am I missing?
Well, Eric
Gordon, and if it does, he's already on your books. Why not just make it happen?
Eric Gordon is going to play.
Okay, so let's just focus on John Wall.
John Wall is not.
I don't get that thought process.
Exactly, indeed. I don't get it either. But when you have a guy, and we talked about this earlier in the week, when you have a guy who doesn't have the superstar skills but still has a superstar mentality, you can't get it in his head that, hey, man, you're going to have to come off the bench. What the Rockets are doing, the Rockets are building without John Wall in the plans. And he knows that as well. And so his mindset is, if I can't play, if I can't start, that's the thing. It's the equivalent to what we just got through talking about. Jabari Smith is upset because he wasn't the number one overall pick. Like, mentally, I guess that does something for athletes to be that. John Wall, if I can't be a starter, I don't want to play.
I don't get it.
Me either.
But he's still
getting paid, though.
But it's not just John Wall. From what I hear and read, the Rockets are like, okay, we get it. You'll just help out and coach. Like, I just don't get that thought process. So, no, you know what? We need you to play. We need you to be the sixth man. And on the flip side, and I know you'll probably hate this, if right now John Wall is the best point guard on the team, then why not start him and have the youngster back him up?
He's not.
Okay, then if he's not, hey, bro, if you're paying me $47 million and you're telling me, hey, you're going to have to be the sixth man, okay, like, where do I sign up? I don't understand that thought process. Quick timeout. We'll get back to it. If you want to jump in, 713-212-5790 in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Say, who that? They want to do that. Run off the wheel and get your ass with blue black. My nerve fresh off the curb, jelly, jam, and preserve. Nothing off my word.
Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches on this Friday. Talking a little NBA draft. Definitely going to get to some Major League Baseball. As you had a very exciting, disappointing, but very exciting game with the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees.
Indeed.
Yo.
I got a side notice for a second. I got a question I need to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How prepared are you for a fire at your house? And
I'm not.
Yeah. So the reason why I'm asking you this is because yesterday I'm at the house. And the fire alarm's going off. So I text my wife, hey, are they testing the fire alarms? And she sent me a message back, showed me the email. The guy like, yeah, they're testing the fire alarms. Okay. But wait. So they kept going off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, what is going on? So they go off. And then I hear the fire trucks. And I said, oh, this ain't a drill. This is real. So, you know me, I got up. Just grab my phone, my wallet, and my keys. Walk downstairs in shorts, jersey, and sandals. I mean, slippers. Excuse me. So I got down there, and then I realized I ain't grabbed nothing important. And like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what if the building would have really caught on fire? Everything that's important is still in the house. Now, we have a fireproof safe, but by the same token, I'm saying to myself, I got to be able to get more prepared. So this weekend, my wife and I, we're doing a fire drill.
But you got out of there with the most important thing.
My wallet?
You.
No.
Your soul.
Andy, you know, I got tennis shoes in the house. Now, look, I'm going to put together a bag. And if I'm going to put together a bag, and if that happens again, I'm going to be just going to throw the bag over the balcony. Like, I'm going to be throwing bags over the balcony. I'm not prepared for a fire.
So obviously, you live in a condo, you know, so they're the ones who initiated the fire drill, correct?
A guy started a fire in the
There was a fire.
Yeah, a guy started a fire in the trash bin, in the trash chute.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Oh.
They arrested him. But I'm not prepared, Indy. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm standing outside and I'm saying, man, there go my Jordans. There go my clothes. Like, I know, right?
They can all be replaced.
I left my computer.
You said you walked out with a jersey. What jersey were you wearing?
That Zeke Elliott.
Oh yeah, you should have left that one. You should have used that to put out the fire.
No, the Dak one was in there. It could have burned.
You should have. I thought you might have had a Jabari Smith Jr. jersey on. Will you get that jersey? The newest member of the Houston Rockets.
I don't really do basketball jerseys, so nah, I won't.
Because you don't want to show the guns, or you don't care too much for the players?
Basketball jerseys are weird to me. Mm-hmm. It's just to me. Like, football jerseys, be like, all right, because football is the number one sport in
the history of sports.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it just means something. Basketball jerseys, they're just like, eh.
What about baseball?
I got baseball jerseys. I got a George Springer jersey, and I got a customized Space City Astros jersey. But like,
so why don't you feel that way about baseball?
Because it's different.
I think you don't like going sleeveless.
I got some okay guns to be 50 years old, but...
So why... Because I know you like basketball more than baseball, yes, if you had to choose. So why you choose baseball jerseys over basketball?
I just don't feel... Like, I'll put it like this. Only basketball jerseys I wear are the Mitchell & Ness, the old school ones.
With the sleeves?
Yeah, no, they don't have sleeves.
Oh, they don't have sleeves? Okay.
No, the old school Mitchell & Ness, Kobe or mm-hmm. Dr. J or something like that. But, hey, I like baseball jerseys, though, because they got buttons. It's yeah. weird. I know.
No, basically, I get why people like wearing baseball jerseys. Yeah. They look kind of cool. One jersey you're not wearing, John Wall. You had a point before we had to go to break. I just don't get it. And again, I'm not saying it should happen, but I don't get the idea, because we keep talking about these superstars. They have so much pride. They don't yeah. want to have, they don't want to come off the bench. And I'm thinking, man, I have so much pride that if a team has to pay me $47 million, let me throw 47 out. If a team had to pay me $2 million and I'm on the roster, I might not like being a sixth man, but you got to put everything in perspective. In my mid-30s, if I'm John Wall, had multiple injuries. You know what? Let me, if my role has been reduced to a sixth or seventh man, I'm just going to go out there and be the best sixth man, period, that I could be.
Well, during the break, you and I were talking, and I was like, I need to come up with a good comparison for John Wall and an NFL quarterback. And you nailed it. You hit the nail on the head, ND. You said Cam Newton. And that's exactly what John Wall is, the basketball version of Cam Newton. In your mind, you still think that you're a superstar. In your mind, you still think you can do it. But your body and your physical abilities, you're just not where you used to be. You're not. John Wall at one point was top 5 point guards in the NBA. He's no longer that. Between the age and between injuries, he's just no longer that. And where he messed up, where I feel that he messed up on last season, come off the bench, John. Show other teams that you're willing to play and that you're willing to be a team player. Don't just do what you did and totally leave the team and then don't show up again until they play in Miami. Then you come sit on the bench. If it had been my team, I'd have been like, no, John, you got to buy a ticket. You can't sit on my bench.
But here's the thing, because this is not me, again, attacking John Wall, because I got the sense. Now, you're closer to it than I am because you're over there in the locker room interviewing the general manager, the coach, the players. But I got the feeling, I got the sense that it was just accepted. Like, he wasn't even a bad guy. Hey, they said, hey, if you want to come help coach the young guys, and apparently he was at a couple of practices and helping coach out. So it wasn't this deal where, hey, John, we need you to come off the bench. Oh, I'm not going to do it. No, we're paying you. We need you to do it. And he's just like, I'm not doing it. It felt like it was mutual. That's why I'm more confused. If it was just John Wall saying, I'm not playing, then I'm like, okay, this is a prima donna. They should find him. They should do something. The reason I'm so confused about this situation, it seems like it was a mutual agreement. And I know the whole, oh, we don't want to put him out there because he might get hurt and his trade value drops. Well, if I'm a team that can potentially trade for a point guard that I'm going to be on the hook for paying him over $40 million, and my biggest fear is that if he steps on the court, he's going to get hurt, guess what I'm not going to do if I'm that other team? I'm not trading for that guy. Like, I don't get it. And the whole pride thing, look, I was a starter for a few years, and then when I took a backup role, my thought was like, man, I can still be a starter. Let me go prove myself. Yeah. And you know what happened? Mm-hmm. I started. And then you know what happened after that? Mm-hmm. My wrist hurt. And I was like, hey, I want to go back to being a role player. Like, I kind of like this 30 plays a game. So,
again, the checks didn't come on Tuesday, right?
Exactly. So, you know, but my point is, if I get why John Wall thinks, hey, I'm still one of the best, go show it.
So, it started out that way, Indy. They came to the press conference. Rafael Stone and John Wall came to the press conference and let everybody know, let the media know that, hey, we're mutually agreeing to this. John is not going to play. You know, while we figure this thing out and try to get him to a place where he feels comfortable, to a contender that he wants to go to. It started out that way. You would see John at practice. You see John sitting on the bench. And then as time went on and as they got close and close to the trade deadline, you started to see less and less of John Wall. And it wasn't because of the Rockets weren't trying to help him or weren't trying to put him in the best situation possible for him and for the team. Because if I'm paying you $47 million, I'm not just going to give you away for a future third round draft pick, compensation for exhibit 10 players. I'm not going to give you away for that. What I'm trying to do, I got to get some value back too. So other teams though didn't see it that way. Other teams like, this is all we're going to give you for John. And then he got frustrated. Then he went to social media. He voiced his opinion on social media. And then it just went sour after that. Well, not really sour, but just to the point where they still not seeing eye to eye.
713-212-5790. If you want to jump in the trenches, give us a holler. And I feel like we're doing Jabari Smith a disservice. We spent more time on John Wall. But my thing is, I just want to build the best team possible for next season. And then if somebody comes in and offers, gives you an offer you can't refuse for one of the Rockets, then you make the trade. But I just don't like putting these guys on ice. And it sounds like, from what I've heard, and Chris Gordy has mentioned it, that it looks like John Wall will be moved this offseason. So it'll be curious to see what they get for him.
And that's going to be interesting if they to see what they get back from. But here's the thing, though, Indy. The Rockets have a good problem right now. A good bad problem, let me say that. They have a bad problem because they have a lot of young, inexperienced players that are going to get a lot of playing time in this upcoming season. The good thing is they got a lot of young players who are going to get a lot of playing time. They got a lot of young talent, a lot of young, good talent that, you know, you're not going to see them get to 50 wins this season. You're not going to see them get 50, 60 wins this season. Of course not. But what they're building is for the future, and I don't see them having the worst record in the NBA this year.
There's one guy, and maybe because I went to this game in person and he happened to have a great game on both sides of the floor, so I'm biased when it comes to him. How does Garrison Matthews survive the new additions? Does he at least make it to Summer League?
He'll make it to Summer League. I don't know if he's going to play in the Summer League. He may make it. Believe me.
Look, I like Garrison Matthews.
I'll be out there, so I'll let you know. I like Garrison Matthews, too. I like his story on how where he came from to where he is now. But, Indy, they are too talented. And you can't go through slumps like that anymore. He went through a bad slump in the second half of the season. Once teams started to adjust and see what he was going to do, because he's not a good dribbler. Off the ball, he's great. Sit him in a spot, he'll kill you. He can come off picks. But the other things, Indy, and with as much talent as the Rockets have right now,
it's going to be tough.
He may get in, you know, if they need a last second shot or something.
Right. He's someone you'll root for him to have success somewhere else. 713-212-5790. Quick timeout.
I was just going to say, the G League MVP, Trevlin Queen, is going to have a hard time making this roster. And he won the MVP last year in the G League.
Yeah. But what's good about that, they're still just trying to prove themselves to any team. Like, I remember being young in the NFL. It's like, I don't play for the Eagles. I'm playing for the Shield just to make somebody happy or notice your value. Quick timeout. If you want to jump in, 713-212-5790. In the Trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Come on. Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Hope you're enjoying your Friday. For all the listeners in Houston and surrounding areas, hope you're finding a way to stay cool. I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday, which is yet another reason how I know I'm getting old. I started talking about routes to and from work and the weather with my homeboys instead of other things that we used to talk about in our 20s. But we're talking about the weather. And look, I'm from Texas my entire life. Grew up in San Antonio, moved to Houston when I was 17, made it home, made it my home very early on. And so I'm used to Texas heat, Houston heat and humidity. Something about this summer, is it just me? It feels like it's hitting a little different.
This sun disrespectful, Andy. The sun is disrespectful.
It's hitting just a little bit different.
And listen, when I was standing outside yesterday, waiting on the fire trucks, I was like, yo, it's hot out here. Man, it's like really hot. And I don't mind being hot. I don't like that sweat rolling down my back. When that sweat,
I don't mind that because that's just normal. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna sweat.
Yeah, but not like that.
But like for me yesterday, and I had to actually work outside. Just used to it. I got Nigerian blood. I was raised in San Antonio and Houston. I'm used to this, and I don't mind sweating because I'll take a shower once I'm done sweating. But it was almost like the sun was like just punching me. Also, like it was so all jokes aside, be careful out there, especially for those athletes that are training. Now I do this, and I actually need to call the best strength coach in the history of strength coaches, Dan Riley, to make sure I'm not doing something ridiculous. I do like to make sure my sons get some training when it's the hottest outside. Just so they can get used to it, because I've been to too many camps. I've seen too many young athletes. When it's time for them to practice in the sun, they just can't take it. So I do feel like there's something about, hey, when it's at its worst, that's when you need to be out there to be at your best.
And to your son,
I did it again.
What'd you say?
When it's at its worst, you need to be out there to practice being your best.
Oh, I've learned to just let it die.
That was a good one. I just wanted people to gnaw on that one.
Oh, I thought you wanted him to turn the dial. Hey, look, your son plays high school football going into his senior year. Bunch of D1 offers, right?
Yeah, thank God.
Do they still do two-a-days in high school?
No, it's not like how it was when we were young.
No, wait, no two-a-days at all.
There's all these rules. If you have the pads on for 30 minutes, then you can't practice no. I get it, especially now that I have kids playing and I want them to be safe, but I remember, here we go again, back in my day, but I remember full pads on the field, 2.5 hours. If your coach was nice, when it got real hot, they'll blow the whistle and say, hey, go over to the hose and hose yourself down for about 10 minutes, then you start practicing. Then we would just go pass out in the locker room for about 3 hours, and guess what? You hear that foghorn, you're back on the football field. They do not do that anymore, and they actually think they're working.
Hey, look, run over to, I don't know what that little white pipe, what is it called?
PVC pipe.
Yeah, and he put the hose in it. They cut that on, and you got the 4 or 5 other people trying to get the water out of there as well.
Horses.
Yes.
And you're just sitting there. For the people that don't know, I'm glad you would hook up a hose to a PVC pipe, then you punch these, I guess about pen size, like a ink pen size holes, and you turn it on, and then like 10 guys can drink water at the same time. And yeah, I remember running to that PVC pipe like Kool-Aid was coming out of it.
I just can't believe that they don't do two-a-days anymore. And I get it, but I don't get it.
You know what? And it's hard. I'm with you. Like, hey, push yourself to the limit. Here's a problem. We keep talking about how the youth, oh, they're not tough anymore, they're weak. It's our fault, because you always have those one or two gung-ho coaches that are so stupid, and they'll say, okay, you can't get water. Then a kid dies, and now they're saying, you know what, we have to regulate this, because there's always one or two dumbass coaches who never played the sport, but they think it makes them tough when you push kids to their limit. Like, I don't care how hot it is. Something else that I remember, Coach Rodriguez, he used to do this in the middle of the heat. He would get these ice towels and he'll wring it on your neck and on your wrist, the palm side of your wrist.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that area, but it keeps your body cool. And you would just cool off. Like, you'd be hot, but you would just cool off. And you feel like, I remember as soon as that cold water hit my back of my neck, I was like, I got another hour in me.
But then you got, you know, crazy coaches like former Maryland head coach DJ Durkin.
Was it the coach or the strength coach?
It was the strength coach.
Mm-hmm.
But it was under DJ Durkin's watch. Gotcha. He knew what was going on, so I immediately blame him.
It is like that. Why now I feel like they've over corrected. Like 2 days, that's part of being a man. Like, I don't even care if you play Division I football, NFL. Them high school boys who went through real 2-a-days, they all became good men.
You know,
they became good men.
The one thing I hated about 2-a-days, though, like, once it was over and it was time for school to start, I was black as this monitor right here. I was like, man, look at
it. I had that problem, too. Yeah. You have to embrace it.
Yeah. Because, you know, we ain't using suntan lotion back in the 80s.
Thank God for Michael Jordan. He made it cool for us. What's going on, Brian? How you doing? Brian going once. Brian and Alvin. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, doing good out here. It is hot. I'm telling you, I remember them 2-a-days. They were brutal.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We did stairs, stadium stairs, and, you know, all that whole jazz. But, hey, let me get to this pick, man. I'm feeling real excited about these Rockets. You know, great acquisition. You know, good hype. The guy's got range. He's versatile. You know, he's going to be a star. But, you know, we got to keep these young egos, you know, at bay.
Yep.
Is it me? This reminds me of the 2015 Astros, man, with all this talent that's coming out of the woodwork. You know, you got the Springer. You know, Altuve was just waiting for, you know, he was already there just waiting for all this young talent to just build this, you know.
You know what? I like that.
This juggernaut of these Houston teams, you know what I mean? And it's real exciting. If you think back then, you know, we were 100 lost seasons and there was no hope. And all of a sudden you hear about this kid Springer, you hear Correa, and here's Bregman coming out of the woodworks. And it kind of gets that feel, man. Maybe we can make something special here in Houston once again and get all three of these teams back in the, you know, playoff mode at least.
You know what? I love the fact that you brought that up with the young talent. Here's the thing, and only time will tell, Brian, and appreciate the call. It felt like all those guys from the Astros, the young guys, they're one talented, but they bought in.
Yes.
And that's where it's going to be tough for whatever reason, basketball players, and maybe it's a bad stereotype and I should not be adhering to it, but it just feels like it's tougher to get a basketball team to buy in.
And that's why you can't jump ship with the Rockets head coach Steven Silas just yet. You got to give him an opportunity to be able to get in there and see exactly what he has. Give him these tools and say, here you go. Now let us see what you can do. Let us see, you know, what you did when you work with Steph Curry and LeBron James and Kemba Walker and Baron Davis. Let us see what you did when you worked with those people helping develop that talent. Let's see what you can do over here. So that's why when people were calling for Steven Silas' job, I said, wait a minute, not yet. Let this man get a stable year under his belt first, a stable year or two, because the first 2 years weren't stable. And it's a good thing that Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta has bought in on Steven Silas.
All right. I want you to buy in on Willie's Grill triple play. We talked about the heat. The best way to cool off, go to Willie's Grill and experience Willie's triple play. It lasts all summer long. We're talking about 100 degree weather. We're talking about how this heat is hitting a little bit different. Well, when you go watch your favorite basketball game, if you're crazy like me about football and you're going to go watch the USFL playoffs this Saturday, do it at Willie's Grill, because the Willie's triple play, you're going to get $3 Ritas, and that's made with tequila, not wine. These are real Ritas. $3 Jack and Coke for all you whiskey lovers. $3 draft beers. And when I say $3 draft beers, it's not a select few. If they have it on tap, it's only $3. What has everybody been talking about lately? The money's tight. Prices when it comes to gas, not having the money we expect to have. Well, for only $3 for the Willie's triple play, you can still go treat yourself and enjoy some of the best sports moments out there for the entire summer. If you live in Houston, surrounding areas, guess what? 9 locations. So there's one close to you. All you need to do is go to williesgrillandicehouse.com to find out which one is nearest you. I've been about 3 times this summer already, enjoyed it every single time, and I'm going to go watch the USFL playoffs this weekend from Willie's Grill. And it's not just about the drinks. It's not just about saving money on those drinks. They have amazing food, just like the new seasoned smoked Gouda burger on a jalapeno cheddar bun. It's spicy if you like that kick, and it's so delicious. Do like I've done this summer. Go to williesgrillandicehouse.com to check out which location's nearest you, and also check out their menu and take part in Willie's triple play. Quick timeout. Back to the discussion in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
player. Give me some brew and I might just chill. You know, Stone is the way of the walk like Cypress Hill.
Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches on this Friday, talking a lot of NBA football. NBA football, wow. I'm really losing my mind. NBA basketball with the draft.
No, don't listen to that slide.
If you had an NBA football league, what would the NBA stand for? National Ballers Association?
You can't clean this up.
Yeah, I can't clean that
up.
I'm just losing my mind.
That's when you just be quiet. Let it die.
Yeah, let it die. You know, this is when you just go to the phones and you let the best listeners in the world talk to you. Kyle, what you got, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, Indian Sarge?
What's happening?
Pretty good, man. Hey, just wanted to touch on, you were just reminiscing on Tua Days and just talking about how, like, it's not really Tua Days anymore. Just wanted to share my little snippet of it. I don't know, when I was in high school, I graduated back in 2011, so we still, I think that was probably the beginning of when they were starting to do away with it, because as I remember, they were HIV was putting on the heat advisories where no one could be outside like afternoon or something like that when like the sun really started baking you out there.
Mm-hmm.
So they really turned it into Tua mornings. So they just backed up the practice time. We had to be out there from like 7 to 9, and then we had another session from like 11 to whenever they said, all right, it's time to go in. And we go in the gym and we were just doing like walkthroughs. So I think from that point on, because that was when I started noticing, like in the news and stuff, where you're always hearing, you know, unfortunately, some of these kids are, you know, collapsing out on the fields and stuff. Like, I think that's probably when it started becoming more prevalent. That's when they started putting in the restrictions and everything. So it's surprising to hear that they've done away with it altogether. But at the same time, it's not. So I can kind of see why they did it and, you know, where it's going. But I'm with you, man. I get it, but I don't get it. You know, you still need to get out there because, I mean, when you're playing in the games, it's going to be hot down south. There ain't nothing you can do about it. But, you know, that's just my little take on that.
Hold on, Kyle. You can't get in this boat with me. You're too young. You graduated in 2011?
Yeah.
You just wet behind the ears. No, I'm talking about your generation also. Talking about, let's have our practice let's have both of our practices in the morning.
Hey, look, that's what they started doing. I can't do nothing about that, but that's the way it's been.
No, I'm messing with you. Now tell me this. No. At the time, you know, because you're the one going through it, were you like, you know what, this makes sense. Good, you know, appreciate it. Or, you know, when you were 17, 18, were you just kind of going through the motions?
You're going through the motions, and I remember every day I would just pray for rain. I didn't care being outside. Just get the sun out. I really didn't care. Like, honestly, I didn't. But, I mean, I understood. I mean, I wasn't going to complain if we're not out in the heat. But, you know, I didn't mind it. I mean, because when you get into the motions, you just get into a routine every day.
There it is. Appreciate that, Kyle. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate that take as well. But yeah, 2011, he's still a baby.
And you know what? I think that the reason why it's so weird to me that there's no more Tua Days is because football is king in the South, and especially in Texas.
And again, though, all it takes is one life being lost, and it's been more than one. Now, I wonder if they had they had conditions. I forgot what the medical term is, but it's just hard to believe that. Is it the sun or were there pre-existing conditions with some of these guys that died? Like that's, but one kid dying, I'm all for, hey, let's change it up.
Yeah, but come on, Indy. You remember, look, I don't want to say that the kids mm-hmm. of today aren't tough because, you know, they're dealing with a different climate, different food or whatever the case may be. But come on, Indy. We was out there doing Tua Days and the only thing that our physical consisted of was turn your head and cough.
Yeah, but people started dying.
Oh, listen. I get that, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this. I'm fortunate enough to say that when I played football, nobody passed away because of Tua Days. So I don't want to dismiss that. But what I'm saying is, come on, Indy. When you took your, how many other people was in the room waiting behind you when you took your physical? You paid $15. The doctor was like, all right, turn your head, cough. No hernia.
There's a line.
No hernia, go. So. Right. Like, and these, they have access to way more medical. Like, now you got to go and have a full-on physical before they allow you to play football.
No, I'm with you. Absolutely. 713-212-5790. Oh, Brian, let's squeeze you in. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's up, Indy? Hey, you know, back in the early 70s when I was in school, Indy, hey, man, they used to have what they called smugglers, or like a first-aid smugglers. They wouldn't even let you go outside.
Mm.
But anyway, what I wanted to tell you about is, was last night like a roller coaster ride or what, man? I'll hurry up and not suck. Hey, look, man, it was like the roller coaster went up, Bregman hit the home run. Then, you know, I went down a little bit because they tied it up, and then Jordan came up, and the roller coaster went back up, and, you know, Jordan pushed ahead, and Palmer seemed to be gliding right along, no problem. And then they announced that the Rockets had got the number one draft pick, and then, well, then Presley came in, and, man, that roller coaster left the track, and I had a horrific crash. And I don't know. Let me know how you felt about last night.
I felt the same way. I was going back and forth, Brian, and after the Rockets made their pick, then I went back to the baseball game, and if anybody watched that game yesterday, of course, we don't like the final results, and you question whether or not Presley was left in a little too long, but that was just very entertaining and exciting. Quick timeout. There's a lot of news going around the NFL, and I love getting in this USA Today columnist into the trenches to talk about some of the things going on. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, what's going on with the Washington Commanders. But Nancy Armour, good friend of the show, will be joining us. You definitely don't want to miss what she has to say about the state of the NFL. That's coming up next in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
You're in the trenches. With N.D. Kalu.
Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I'm so excited to get this next person in the trenches with us. Very good friend of the show and one of my favorite columnists. Writes for the USA Today Sports, for USA Today Sports, I should say. And she's been very gracious with her time and jumped in the trenches with us for the last few years, even back when Greg Cook was here in the trenches. And we're lucky enough to get her in today. Nancy Armour, you can follow her on Twitter, and make sure you do that to get all of her great articles at NR Armour. And we, again, are lucky enough to talk about the state of sports with Nancy Armour. Nancy, again, thank you for jumping in the trenches. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Look, I know it seems silly to talk about sports right now. There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. Some people feel like the country's going backwards and you know, and for us to sit here and talk about sports. But I wanted to talk to you because we're here in Houston, as you know, and anytime there's controversy, we always like to get your point of view, your angle from it. And I actually appreciate it. But with the Deshaun Watson ordeal, I'm so conflicted because, Nancy, there, I can't say for without a doubt we know he did X, Y, Z. But then at the same time, I'm not an idiot. When I look at the number, what, 24, 26, whatever it may be, it's hard to ignore that. I've been very curious about your take. And the reason I waited so long is because he settled 20 of the 24 cases. And now it looks like it's nudging Roger Goodell to make a decision with the suspension. I just want to get your take on this whole Deshaun Watson ordeal.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, ironic that we are talking about this today because it all goes to attitudes toward women.
Yes.
You know, I think you're right. The lawsuits don't prove anything. But the fact that there are this many, I mean, it's more than two dozen women have made strikingly similar accusations against him, accusations that he doesn't deny. Number, you know, that he has said that the sex was consensual in some of the cases, which, you know, the women tell different stories, obviously. You know, I think the thing that stick out to me, there are a couple things. Number one, the number of women. You know, there's that old saying, when there's smoke, there's fire. And you don't get this many people without something not being quite right. And then the other thing, I mean, Andy, you were an athlete. You were a football player. You know this. The dude went to 66 different massage therapists over a 17-month span. That doesn't happen with a professional athlete. I mean, your body is your livelihood. when you find, first of all, your team provides you with with massage therapists, physical therapists, all of these people. And if you don't want to use those people, then you find your person and you stick with them. I have never heard of an athlete having this many interactions with somebody who is supposedly, quote unquote, treating his body. That's just, and I've heard that from athletes who are saying, yeah, that to me was a huge red flag, because it just doesn't, you're not going to mess with your body. You're not going to let all of these different people work on it, because they could screw you up. And if you're a professional athlete, you're not going to take that chance. So those, to me, are the two biggest things that have jumped out. And then also, too, actually, if you look at the depositions, and my coworker, Brent Schrottenbohr, has done a lot, even his own, Watson's own words in the depositions are off, or are, raised concerns. Like, there was one that the opposing attorney, he pointed out that, so you're sitting in your car with your small towel waiting for her to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Like, and when you put it like that, it sounds gross. It sounds icky. And Watson kind of even acknowledged, like, yeah, it doesn't sound great, but yes, that's what I was doing. So those are my thoughts about it.
See, I don't have any, and again, you heard how I started the questioning. I don't disagree with anything that was said, even with the number. In my 12 years, I may have had, and I took my body, serious. I may have had five different massage therapists. And the only reason it was five is because I played with three different teams. So I had to find,
exactly.
Another one. So when this story first came out, I was like, I'm not ready to call someone a rapist, because that's one of the worst things you can call somebody, out there. But I was also hesitant with that number. So I say all that to say, with the number 66, in my mind, he was probably trying to meet different massage therapists and figure out where it's going to lead. As creepy, as weird as that may sound, is a criminal, though. Is a criminal. Now, if he did something that some of these women are saying he did, then I don't care if the number is 66 or 1. He should not play in the NFL again. But where I get a little hesitant, you mentioned where there's smoke, there's fire. We talked about things that make him creepy. For Roger Goodell, and you probably won't like this, I actually feel sorry for him, because how do you justify a suspension off of, is hearsay the wrong word? Like, it's even hard for me, Nancy, to ask the question without sounding like I'm supporting one side or the other, which I'm not. It seems like it'll be so hard for Roger Goodell, because we just don't know what happened, is basically what I'm saying. So if I asked you, if I was running the NFL, I would literally call you up, Nancy, and take your advice. How would you advise me on this as far as the suspension?
I'd suspend him, I don't know if you can suspend him permanently, but mm-hmm. I'd give him a lengthy suspension. And I think, a couple of things about this. Goodell has, first of all, this is why he's making $63 million a year or whatever it is, to make these hard decisions. But, he has he's issued suspensions and issued discipline based on, not court cases. Ezekiel Elliott comes to mind. There were no criminal charges in that case. So there is precedence that he can do this. Goodell has to make a decision based on whether it's talking with the women, talking with their attorneys, going through or having his people go through the transcripts of the different depositions. Also talking to the Houston police officer who said she thought that criminal conduct occurred. That to me was another really great, big striking thing, was that you have somebody who's trained to investigate this, and she said this didn't sit right with her. So if I'm Goodell, I take a good look at that or use that as a pretty good guide. The one thing, and I pointed this out to a couple of people, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, I think kind of changed the stakes or changed the game a little bit in this case when he suspended Trevor Bauer. This is another case that there were not criminal charges. It was the woman, the ex-partner's ward against his. And Rob Manfred, basically said, we don't want you in MLB. You are bad for the game. You're toxic, and we don't need people like you in our game. And, to do that, I think it's an effective 3-year suspension for Bauer. And to do something like that, I think kind of show Goodell that, hey, you can take hard stances like this, and you also kind of need to when you've got people like this, because otherwise you're sending a message that actions like this, casual disregard, and that's the nicest thing I can say, toward women is acceptable, and it's not. Whether it's Watson or it's Dan Snyder, you know, the NFL, all sports leagues have to start treating women better, because it's what they have done in the past is really just unacceptable.
Hey, Nancy, Brian here, and I'm glad you mentioned Dan Snyder, because I was going to ask you, when you're talking about presidents, how will Roger Goodell hold Dan Snyder, or will he hold Dan Snyder to the same standard as he holds the players? Because when he was brought in front of some senators, he said that he didn't have the power really to do anything to Dan Snyder. And if he suspends Deshaun Watson with no criminal charges and suspends him for a lengthy suspension, doesn't that seem kind of hypocritical?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the questions that Snyder was asked, or I'm sorry, that Goodell was asked about Snyder was, did he inform the league that he had been accused of sexual assault and sexual harassment in 2009? And Goodell said, to my knowledge, no, that Dan Snyder did not alert the league to it, that he didn't find out about it until, I think, just within the last couple of years. That's a violation of the personal conduct policy. So that alone, yeah, he should be suspending Dan Snyder. I mean, he suspended Jim Irsay after Jim Irsay was busted for drunk driving. And this is, to me, you know, a heck of a lot similar, or a heck of a lot more serious. So, yeah, I do think it would be hypocritical. There's also another case out there that the NFL is still investigating, that they're waiting on the Mary Jo White report. And if that is found, if Snyder is found to have done what he's been accused of in that case, then absolutely. And he should be. Goodell can't make Snyder sell the team, but he can suspend him. He can bar him from going to games, and he should. Because absolutely, you know, Snyder violated the personal conduct policy. So, yes, he should face the same repercussions as the players have.
Something else I wanted to get to. Every time you're on, I'm like, man, I wish she was a co-host, because there's so many things I like to get your take on. So this one isn't egregious, but it's something that we've been talking about here. The new NIL and the transfer portal. I love the fact that college players are getting paid off their name, image, and likeness. I never liked the idea of a school actually playing a college player. One thing I don't like, but I like the freedom that they have, and I want to get your take. Now I'm starting to see, Nancy, like, for instance, I just read an article this morning here in North Texas. One of the North Texas linebackers, he's exceeded all expectations. So what's he doing? He's leaving school because there's a bigger school who's going to give him a NIL deal. I like the freedom. We keep talking about freedoms, but there's something about it that makes me feel like, you know what? When no one else gave you an opportunity, North Texas did. Now that you've lived up to what you expect to be, you're going to leave them. What's your take on the NIL? And I guess more importantly, how these players, and not just football, are able to hop around.
I mean, on the one hand, I understand and I agree with what you're saying. But at the same time, we don't really say a whole lot when Brian Kelly jumped ship from, you know, Central Michigan to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati to Notre Dame, from Notre Dame to LSU. I mean, that's all fine and good. So why can't players do the same thing? And, you know, I do wonder if it's going to, you know, if this is just because NIL is still so new, if we'll see a kind of I don't know if calm down is the right word, but if we'll see a calm down in the coming years as people kind of get used to it, and you know, everybody kind of gets a better handle on of what is not permissible, but you know, what works and what doesn't. But I think it's really hard to tell the players or the athletes who are you know, earning the school's money that no, you can't do this, when coaches have been doing it for decades.
No, I'm with you, and that's why I'm happy to see it, because I always bring up that same example, like you mentioned, coaches, they get bought out of their contracts and they move on, so why can't the players do it? But there's also a part of me, and keep in mind, I do want them to be able to move around, where I'm like, hey, you know what? When Alabama wasn't recruiting you, when they said you weren't good enough, you went to a smaller school, proved you're good enough, and now you're going to say bye to that small school and go get paid at a Power Five. But again, I'm not against it, but it does, as a fan, it does make me feel a little weird.
Yeah, and like I said, I think, you know, in a perfect world, or, you know, just without anything else, you know, just on the face of it, I do agree with you. But I have a hard time telling kids that they can't do stuff when we've been okay with coaches doing it.
All right, before we let you go, what's one thing in the sports world that's positive that you're seeing and it actually makes you smile? Because right now it's pretty depressing. What's something that a story, regardless of sport, anything that you see and it puts a smile on your face?
You know, one thing that happened this week that was really super cool, and we'll close it out with the whole women, treating women angle, because that's what we started with.
Yep.
The Kansas City Current, which is the NWSL team in, obviously, Kansas City, Tuesday, broke or opened its new $18 million training center that is just for the women's team. It's believed to be the first built solely for a women's professional team. And they are breaking ground later this fall on a stadium, a soccer-specific stadium, just for the women's team, which, again, that will be the first team built specific, or first stadium built specifically for a women's team. So it shows the power of women's sports, that, you know, this, the increase in ratings, the increase in interest is not, it's not a minor thing, and it's not going away. And I think it's just really cool that we're finally, and we meaning society, business, whoever, whatever, are finally giving women's sports their due and are recognizing them for the financial opportunity or the financial, possibilities that they have and that have been ignored for too long.
Tell me this, and I want to spend some time on this. Is it because the community stepped up and upped their taxes, or is it because the owners,
nope,
Angie and Chris Long, nope, they did a, you know, like, why were they able to get this done?
Well, Angie and Chris Long built this themselves. Mm. And they're mostly going to build, they said that they were going to build the stadium themselves, and they are predominantly. They've asked for some tax breaks as the costs have gone up. But, you know, they're financial people. They're I think, hedge fund people. They recognize, they're part of a new breed of owners in the NWSL and the WNBA who recognize the financial opportunities that there are with these franchises. And so they're saying, yeah, we're going to put money in here because on the back end, there's going to be a lot of money for us. Whether it is what we're going to get from sponsors, what we're going to get from ticket sales, you know, if we would ever sell the franchise, what we're going to get from that. You know, they're seeing that it's no longer just a charity project that, oh, we want a women's team because it's the right thing to do. It's, no, this is a really good business decision.
You said no quickly. I would have felt better if they voted, if the community voted and said, no, this is important, so let's go ahead and, you know, whether it's up to taxes, I'm not quite sure exactly how that works. You know, credit to Angie and Chris Long, but I would have felt better if the community was like, no, this is important, we need this, and let's go ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, but I hate the whole thing of team owners, because most of the team owners are billionaires. They can afford to open their pockets.
Gotcha.
So I hate it when they say, oh, build us a stadium. No, you've got enough money. You can build it yourself.
I heard that. If you want more of this, make sure you check her out to get all of her thoughts, her articles. Does a great job. Go to her Twitter page, @NRArmor. As always, Nancy, I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Always a pleasure to talk with you.
All right, Nancy Armour joining us. We're lucky enough to get her in the trenches with us. Quick timeout if you want to jump in, 713-212-5790. In the Trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Something for my guy, Sonny Liza, and a little girl named Corinne.
Welcome in, welcome back. In the Trenches, went a little bit over with Nancy Armour, so we'll have a short segment here, then get back on track, but everything will stay the same. We're still the most interactive show in the world. Talked a lot of NBA draft talk, talked a lot of just sports with Nancy Armour. That's why I like getting her in.
She's good.
Yeah, she is good. I'll say this. I hope it works out with the Kansas City Current, the National Women's Soccer League team, and them spending, the team owner spending $18 million, which is awesome for the facilities. when it's all said and done, it's still a business, so you hope they go out there and support it. So yeah. It's profitable. When it comes to women's sports, I've said this a couple of times. You can't convince me that if it's done right, you can't have a successful women's volleyball league here in America. And again, when I say successful, we're not talking it's going to be like the NFL, NBA, not even like the NHL. I'm just talking about a league where it doesn't lose money and it gives young girls, female athletes to look up to. When you talk about the explosion, I don't know if you've been around ever since college. That's when I really got into volleyball. Like, man, this is an explosive sport. It's fun. And it's just hard for me to imagine them not be, if you have the marketing, the TV, market the athletes, their verticals, their strength, their quickness. It's hard for me to believe that they could not have success.
Just have to be marketed the right way.
Right.
Well, the one thing the volleyball did to help increase women's volleyball to help increase some of the viewership, they cut down the timing of the game by changing the scoring. You remember when they changed the scoring and they made it a run? Do you remember it used to be?
I thought they made it longer. Didn't you used to have the first of 15? Now it's 25.
Yeah, but it's like a point for everything.
Yeah, you're right.
It used to be that way.
Only if you're serving. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was better for the sport.
Yes.
You're
and so right. when they increased that, net made it a little bit more exciting. So I think that, you know, if you market it the right way, I feel the exact same way when it comes to the WNBA. If they market the WNBA the right way, I think you can get more viewership. So, yeah, I think that it could work. Just as long as you put the money into it. And you got to get here's the funny thing about it. You have to get someone that's a social media influencer or something like that to push it.
Here's the thing about WNBA. I like it. I appreciate it. What's tough, and again, we're talking about casual fans. For you to have success, you have to have casual fans. I think when casual fans watch women's basketball, they automatically try to compare it to what? The men's game.
True.
And you're not seeing the dunks. You're not seeing some of the explosive plays you see in the men's league. And for whatever reason, that turns them off. I know there's men's volleyball, but when I think of volleyball, I think of a women's sport. So it's not like if you try to promote women's volleyball on a professional level that you're comparing it to the men's game.
Yeah.
And that's just my take.
No,
I could be dead wrong.
It's a good take.
But I just feel like it would have success.
Yeah, it's a really good take. I mean, you get one every, about once a week. Now you done got people to turn the dial back this way.
All right, is this a good take? They left our guy, Dusty Baker, left Presley in the game too long.
No.
That's a bad take?
It's a bad take.
Why?
And the reason why it's a bad take is because he faced the minimum amount of batters. You know, the new rule is that once you bring in a reliever, they have to face three batters.
Okay.
They have to face three hitters. He walked the first two, and on the third batter, he gave up a three-run home run. And so watching that, at first I'm saying to myself, Presley, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Then I realized two things. One, Presley hasn't been as effective this season as he was in the past. And so he's benefited from some great defense behind him. He's put runners on base and they've been able to get out of it with double plays and great plays. The second thing is I realize he just pitched the day before against the Mets. So you remember when the Astros were up, I think 5-1 on the Mets, and then the Mets came back and made it a 5-3 game, if I'm not mistaken. And then they had to bring in Montero. They had to bring in Stanek, Montero, Neris, and then Presley closed out the game. And so bringing him in on back-to-back days, which you have a pitcher who hasn't been at his best this season, then I realized, okay, all right, I get it. I see why he can't throw strikes now. But there's a pivotal point in that game, ND, that caused all of this. It caused the downfall because the Astros were up 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the sixth inning, Framber Valdez had pitched a great game. The only mistake he made was giving up a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning. After that, he retired 14 straight batters. 14 straight. He gets to the sixth inning, goes up against Anthony Rizzo, right? Goes up against Anthony Rizzo, and it's a 16-pitch sequence where Rizzo ends up walking.
Mm.
In that inning, Framber throws 25 pitches. He only threw 75 pitches up to that point. Now you're at 100. Now if you're Dusty, you're like, I got to get him out of here now because his pitch count is entirely too high. So now what do you have to do? Now you got to start leaning on those guys, leaning on those relievers that you leaned on the day prior against the Mets. And it's just that way. I put it like this. This is going to sound crazy, but losing last night was probably the best thing for the Astros, because if you go into extra innings, now you got to go deeper into your bullpen. So that was probably the best thing for them.
All right. Quick timeout. Larry, Reggie, Bill, we see you there in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Thank God it's Friday.
Welcome in. Welcome back. A lot of people want to get in, and I want to get right out there. We are the most interactive show in the world. Martin wants to talk about what we were just talking about, so I definitely want to get his take on the women's pro sports. Martin, welcome to the show. What's going on, Martin?
Gentlemen, I enjoy your show so much. I've gone and pretty much listen to it on Fridays at times. But I tell you what, I wish the WNBA would come back to Houston with the comments. I enjoyed them. But here's one for you. How about a women's professional softball league? What do y'all? I mean, the thing is, you'd have to build a specific stadium for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, depending on how many cities, I don't know if there's that many really qualified women's softball to fill out a roster who are really professional. That would be my concern. And I'd also like to see the NHL come to Houston. But anyway, what do y'all think about women's professional softball?
You know what? I'll say this, Martin. When the College World Series, the Women's Softball World Series is on, I find myself watching it. Me personally, and I'm a sports fan, I love to see different competitions. I don't know if I would actually take my lazy butt out of my house to go to a women's softball game, similar to the reason why I feel like the WNBA hasn't quite taken off. I'm always, subconsciously, you're like, oh, well, I'm not seeing anybody hit the ball like Yordan Alvarez or Aaron Judge. They hit home runs, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Or with the underhand pitch, I'm not seeing somebody go out there and look as masterful as Justin Verlander. And again, I know I'm in the wrong with that statement, but I feel like when you have a sport that's already been dominated, or we're so used to seeing the men perform, it's tough because subconsciously we try to compare it.
And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they used to have a couple of women's professional softball leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple of games that were televised, but who, Indy, listen, I don't know if, have you ever tried to hit, fast pitch?
Oh, I can't.
Underhand?
Oh. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be able to do it either. But it, like I said, it goes back though to what we talked about earlier, just marketing. The way that ESPN markets the College World Series, that's how, if you put that type of marketing behind women's softball, it may work.
Mm-hmm. I just softball, and I know men play volleyball. But again, I think most people, when they think of volleyball, because we've seen so many great athletes on the collegiate level, the women play it, we think of the women. I don't feel like people would watch a professional volleyball league thinking, oh, well, you know, I watch the men and they're doing this, that, or the other. Larry, what's going on, Larry Lair?
Hey, what's going on, Indy? I got a lot to get to, but just going back to the women's softball league. Hey, Indy, how many female golf tournaments have you sat down and watched?
About the same as men, zero.
Yeah. So, Sarge, what about you?
It's been a minute since I watched women's golf.
Yeah. It's something different about it. I don't know how, and I think you hit on it, Sarge, how they market it or how they go about presenting it or whatever, but it's something about, even like the NCAA Women's Championship games and stuff like that, it's always on this second tier. Like it's never pushed out to the front. And so you never see it. So it's hard to really get involved into it unless you're watching the Women's College Softball World Series and there's a couple of players from OU that you like or something like that. So I don't know if a women's softball, I wouldn't mind seeing it because I'm open to, you know, everybody having a chance to play whatever. But I just don't know if the country would get behind it and support it financially with advertising dollars and television that it would actually be a success, because we don't even see WNBA games on that. Rarely we see them on national television. But anyway, I want to get to Nancy Armour too. you know, I read her articles. I think she was in USA Today, if I'm not mistaken. But I've always been, or that may have been Christine Brennan. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've always appreciated Nancy's commentary about a lot of things. But that whole whatever the Major League Baseball did to that clown up in, for the Dodgers, whatever, I can't remember his name. And then saying that that sets the precedent that that's what should happen to Deshaun Watson or whatever. I don't agree with that, man. The NFL has to be able to figure this out. If they're going to suspend them for whatever amount of games they're going to suspend them so that this can move on. But just because another league does one thing, I don't agree that that should set precedence on the National Football League and this decision with Deshaun Watson. Now, the Rockets draft last night. Raphael Stone is making us all just forget about Daryl Morey. And let me explain to you why. They got the best player in the draft last night. And I don't give a damn what nobody said. And the fact that Chet was sitting there or Oklahoma City took Chet before, man, I grabbed the biggest glass of Hen that I could find not to get that dude to play basketball in Houston. And when we got Jabari Smith, man, I told a couple of my dogs, I said, this is going to be the catalyst for the Rockets to come out of this whole thing where now they got some big-time players that can play the game. They're young, but they're going to grow into what we want them to be in terms of a basketball team in Houston. Because when you could get that kind of talent in Jabari and Jalen, and then you can go out and get Ty and get these guys that can play the game, this is going to be a fun team to watch. And Indy, you know, they're paying John Wall $50 million. I don't know how people just have $50 million to throw away like that, but that's crazy to me because I would make John Wall ass come off the bench if that's where he has to come off of. And if he doesn't come off the bench, I'd get his ass away from my squad. Last thing before I let you go, Indy, two things real quick. How much is your summer light bill, dog?
Ooh, you know what? I don't even look at it. I don't even look at it. It's so bad.
Don't look at it because I'm like, damn, this is the light. But anyway, and the second thing, Garth Brooks, I'm going to see you on August 6th, dog, and I'll holler.
All right, appreciate that. Okay, I thought I was the only one who thought that about John Wall because, yeah, man, go play until we can do something with you. And I would think he would be like, okay, let me go earn my money so I can go prove to y'all, to be in the NBA, that I'm still a starter somewhere.
Do you think they put pressure on him this season to – some type of pressure on
if they don't trade him?
Yeah.
I don't know because I get this sense. And again, I'm on the outside looking in. I get this sense that they don't even want to play him because they want to play their young guys. But the young guys need rest too. No. So I just don't understand what the thought process is.
I'm talking
is.
About put pressure on him to take a buyout. Because if they buy him out, he's free to go. He's free to go anywhere he wants to go.
Look, everything I just said about him, he needs to get on the field. I mean, on the court. No, don't give up any money if you don't have to. Yeah, buy me out. Give me my $47 million.
But if you want to play, take the buyout, right? So, look,
I want my money.
$47 million, right? If they buy you out at 38, would you say, okay, I can do that?
No.
Why not?
Because I have 47 coming to me.
And to not play, though. And you're losing.
Then that's their fault. If they're paying him to not play, then that's on them. I'm saying I understand he's not a starter, but for whatever reason, and I know there was a reason that made sense at the time, they brought him over, inherited his contract. So the thought should have been like, hey, even though we're paying you like a superstar, you're coming off the bench. Like that discussion should have been had. But if they're saying we're paying you not to play, no, then pay me my whole 47. Pay me 47 and I'm going to go out there and play. If you play me for 5 minutes, I'm going to give you the best 5 minutes I got. If you play me for 30 minutes, I'm going to give you the best 30. But no, don't take less money. Oh, this is a business.
That's crazy, Indy. You said I'm going to give you the best 5 minutes I got. I think I said that a couple of times in my lifetime.
Only lasted two. Still only lasted two. All right, quick timeout. Reggie, Bill, we see you there in the trenches only on Sports Talk 790.
You know it ain't no stopping.
Woo, time goes by fast when you're talking a little sports. One more segment to go. We are the most interactive. You know what? We had something we had to get to. We're going to have to wait because I don't want to rush it.
Monday? We'll do it Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it Monday. All right.
That's our tease. There's something you want to hear, too.
Oh, most definitely. Especially coming out of the weekend. Yeah. You're definitely going to hear it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to appreciate it then. Reggie, what's up, Reggie?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Indian Sarge, look, I'm going to put this to you guys. If, you know, the WNBA was popular at one time. When it first started, the stadiums were rocking. But it was a reason why the decline happened so fast. But, and it goes back to what you said, Andy, which was a great idea. You should have thought of that a long time ago and put all your money into it. I think a ladies' professional volleyball organization will outdraw any WNBA game if you put them head-to-head and if it ever happened. Because the simple fact is people will go to see the ladies perform on the volleyball court simply because they look the look in itself. That's just the way I'm going to put it. I'm not going to be too rude or anything else. But the thing about it, people will go. You got too many conservative people who, when they turn on to see the WNBA, they're turned off. And that's where most of the dollars are coming from. But that's my opinion on that. But a volleyball, professional women's volleyball will be successful. So I would hope you would put your big dollars into it and make it happen. And if I can get to the Rockets, this is what it's just like the same call I gave you guys last year. Man, that's why the Rockets is my first priority when it comes to Houston sports, because they get it, Andy and Big Sarge. They see what the fans want, the true Rocket fans, and they call all the time, Chris, and you got everybody that calls all the time, Larry, and you got Drew. All of us call because we're true Rocket fans, and we're going to wait it out because they give us hope. And I told you guys that I would prefer Jabari over all those guys because the simple fact, he's another version of Herb Jones. Herb Jones should have been a lottery pick, but I guarantee you New Orleans is happy they got Herb Jones. This guy plays just like Herb Jones. He's just about 3 inches taller than him. And with the young man out of LSU, that's a story I love to see when young men like that are overlooked and come to the top of the draft the way they did, because you got a lot of guys that are projected to be first-round picks out of high school and don't make it, and then you had the guys that late bloomers and make it, and that's what I enjoy about it. And I thank the Rockets organization again for another good draft. Y'all have a good weekend.
You too. Appreciate that.
I think he's Herb Jones. I think that he's going to be better than Herb Jones, though. I think he shoots better than Herb Jones. He can really, you know, light it up from the three-point range. And so I like the comparison, but I just think he's going to be a little bit better than Herb Jones. And we also didn't mention the Rockets took Tari Eason,
yes,
out of LSU.
Number 17.
Yeah, number 17 last night. And the Rockets finally announced today that the Christian Wood trade has been made official. So they traded Christian Wood to the Dallas Mavericks for a pick and some players, and then they traded that pick last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
So they went from 26th to 29th, and they got the rights, to Ty Washington, the point guard out of Kentucky. So, hey, look, I put this on social media last night. You tell me what you think real quick, ND. The Houston Texans went to the SEC to rebuild their franchise, and now the Houston Rockets went to the SEC to rebuild their franchise. It say something about the SEC football and basketball wise.
You know, it just says they have strong programs. But when I think of basketball, I mean, most of these guys, the ages are so young, 19, 20, 21. They're in school for 1 year. I was reading up on Jabari Smith, and it was funny. He was one of the highest ranked recruits in 2021.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hold on. And now he's already, you know, the number three overall pick in 2022. So basketball is tough. It's like, hey, we know if you're that great, you're only going to be here 1 year. If I was a basketball coach, I would recruit the 2 and 3 stars and try to build some chemistry, kind of like Gonzaga, you know, outside of Chet Holmgren. Most of their guys aren't one and done. Timmy, the kid out of Dallas, I think he's like a 6 year senior.
Yeah.
I would rather, if I'm trying to win and I just have the best talent, I would rather recruit those guys that can ball, but they're going to have to stay around for 2 or 3 years and create some kind of chemistry.
How long are you willing to wait, though? Because now you're going up against those teams who get those one and dones, who are super athletic, super talented, and going
to wait for what?
To be good.
No, but okay, like there was a bunch of LSU guys that went in the first round. Like I think I saw like 3 or 4.
LSU?
Yeah. Am I mistaken?
Baylor? You talking about Baylor?
No. It was Duke. Baylor only had, there was only one Texas school that had a first rounder, and it was Baylor. But Duke had two or three guys go in the first round.
Oh, first round. Okay.
Yeah. This draft. They didn't win it all.
Who, Duke?
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But like,
they made it to the Elite Eight. Final Four.
But I'm saying, I feel like getting the best talent who's going to end up in the NBA and trying to build a winning program are two different things, in my opinion.
But if you're trying to build a winning program with guys who are less talented than the ones you're going up against, it ain't going to work. And a lot of these
ones. Gonzaga proves that every year. I mean, I know they haven't won at all, but they're always in, it seems like they're always a contender. And they don't have those guys.
Let me put it like this. Chet Holmgren, who everybody loves, who went number two to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh, yeah, he looked great running through whatever Santa Clara and Santa Barbara and, you know, all those colleges out there. Go look at, when you get a chance, look at his stats in the last two games he played in college. Look at the last two tournament games he played in, and you'll see, oh, when he had to go up against some real talent, he shrunk.
What did Auburn do this year?
Auburn got the number two seed, and they lost to, Miami. They lost to Miami like 79-60. They got blew out in the tournament, but they made it to the second round.
Yeah, and I think those, like a superstar player like Jabari Smith can carry you to the first, second round. But I still feel like if there's a coach out there that says, look, I get it, we probably won't even land Jabari Smith. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go after these two, three, four stars, knowing that they know they look, just because they're a two or three star, they still want to go to the NBA, but they know they're not coming out after their first year. Like, I want those guys to have that team concept and play against the Jabari Smiths of the world, the kid from Kentucky who didn't even step on the court because of something he reclassified and he still went top five. Like, good for him, but I want to go against those teams with with guys that have been together for at least two or three years.
You mean like the local program, like University of Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The University of Houston is a great example of what you're saying. So,
I'm glad you threw that out there. Bill, what you got, Bill?
Oh, not much, man. John Wall, just right quick. KPJ is fragile enough as it is. He walked out this year, and if he's got John Wall pressing him for time, you're going to wind up with no point guard. Your young guy is damaged. He's already wants out anyway, and John Wall isn't the solution. So, hey, pay him the $47 million. Let him walk. And the reason he won't take a buyout is he doesn't have any confidence in his abilities to sign another big contract. That's the only reason. And what I originally called for was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the person who's doing the evaluation of the severity of Deshaun Watson is the one who makes the call on the punishment, not Goodell, because there was such a great outcry with some of the punishments he handed down on the players that they wanted to take it out of his hands.
You know, I need to read up on that, so I'm not speaking out of the side of my mouth, Bill, because I know with the CBA, they negotiated something that took some of the power away from Roger Goodell, but I still feel like he's the main force when it comes to the suspensions. But before what I'll do, that's my homework for this weekend. I will read up on that so I can let you know for sure if he still does have the power to hand down suspensions and to oversee the appeal, which is crazy. But during that first CBA, when they allowed for that to happen, the players were more focused on the money than the actual power that Roger Goodell has. That's going to do it for us today. God willing, same time, same place this weekend. Everybody have a great weekend. Quick, any plans for this weekend? Sit back, relax, or you have anything big?
Fire drill. I told you that earlier.
You're going to do fire drill all fire weekend. Drill. That's funny.
And she don't even know when it's coming. I mean, it may be 2:30 in the morning.
That's funny.
Make my phone go off. Be like, all right, let's go.
That's funny but smart. Same time, same place, Monday, God willing. In the Trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.